This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. As you can imagine, this is a story that I have told many times. I was working out the other day that I must have told about 100 Christmas talks just in the time I've been in Hollywood. And so the story of Joseph is one I've told many times. A friend of Bethany's at school used to come here to primary school. And she said to Bethany a couple of weeks ago, "Bethany, does your dad still roll off benches in assemblies?" And Bethany was like, "What?" And so she had to explain, and then Bethany came on to me and says, "Beth, Aidan wants to know, do you still roll off benches?" I used to lie on a bench. They're all on the back up there. You lie on a gym bench, pretend to snore, and then roll off the bench, having been woken up in my dream. I'm too old for that now. I'd get hurt, so I don't do it like that. But it demonstrates something of the shock of what Joseph must have faced. We are so familiar with this story. Many of us will have heard this story hundreds of times. We're so familiar with it. But to imagine what it must have been like for Joseph living it all those years ago, the shock of that must have been kind of incredible. Not only is he visited by an angel, which would have been a shock all of its own, but the news that was confirmed to him by that angel was alarming. His whole world had already been rocked by this news that had been given to him that Mary was pregnant. And so he's trying to process all of that. And then he gets an angel and tells him that the news is true. And it's even more than that, that it's true, the baby's come from God. His world would have been kind of just... it would mean a mess. Have you ever had popping candy? Ever eaten that? You kind of feel that sensation of it kind of pop, 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 pop in your mouth. If you've never had, you're thinking, what is he talking about now? But I imagine Joseph's brain was a little bit like that. It's kind of just like fireworks going off in his brain as he's trying to process and understand what he is hearing and what he's been told. Now, we're going to unpack a little bit some of the detail here and some of the questions that we may have about this. Because we're told in verse 18 that they're pledged to be married. Verse 19 says that Joseph is Mary's husband and that he planned to divorce her quietly. And yet verse 24 says they were not yet married. Okay, so what's going on? Is this an error? Is it an inconsistency which kind of disproves the story? Or is it something else? Well, we need to understand that this is an engagement of a man and a woman who are both Jewish and it's in an ancient world. So it's an engagement between a couple, a Jewish couple in the ancient world, and it is very different to how we think about kind of marriage and engagement now in a kind of Western world, modern, contemporary world. For when Mary and Joseph got engaged, they would have been considered to have been legally bound to each other at the point of getting engaged, okay? And so the legal kind of union was not when they kind of walked down the aisle and said, "I do." Their legal union came when they got engaged, okay? So they were married at that point, but not in the eyes of the law, but not married together in every other sense, okay? Their engagement to each other was a covenant commitment. It was a promise, a vow that they were taking to each other, that I am yours and you are mine, and that is now forever from this moment. The engagement is not a let's get engaged and see how this goes. It is the I am going to marry you. This is 100% going to happen, and it will be forever. It's that kind of commitment that they were making. So they were engaged but not yet married. And the husband's family in that time, so the reason why they didn't go and get engaged one day and married the next, if that was the level of commitment they were making, would be that the husband's family would essentially be building an extension on their house, okay? So as to make room for the new bride and groom to live. Could you imagine that, Jess? You'd have a couple of extra rooms on your house. So they would be engaged long enough for the groom's dad to build an extension for somewhere for this married couple to now live, okay? The context of that, I need to understand this. Do you remember when Jesus said that he's going to prepare a place for us and my father's house has many rooms? This is what it means. This is what they would have understood because they were Jewish. It was a Jewish culture. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go and build an extension in my father's house, that you, the church, are the bride of Christ, okay? So we are the bride of Christ. One day we will be with him, and where are we going to live? We're going to live in a room in his father's house. So that's the kind of the cultural, historical context of them as Jews, and that's what we need to understand by that. And so the importance of the covenant here and the promise is that Mary and Joseph, they were not married, but they were bound together. Covenant promise to one another that was unbreakable. I am yours and you are mine and this is forever, okay? And so that was the context of that. That was the language of it. So let's relate that to us when we see in the word that we are the bride of Christ. Jesus is our groom and he has made a covenant promise to us that we are his and he is ours. And it's unbreakable. It's unbreakable. And he is preparing a place for us. There's something beautiful about that, isn't there? There's something wonderful about that. Not only in understanding the context and what is this an anomaly? Does this make sense about Mary and Joseph? But seeing the bigger picture of how we fit into that kind of that narrative, that kind of culture. So they were engaged. They were bound to each other, but not yet married. Hence, she was a virgin. The marriage had not been consummated, and Joseph said that he wouldn't consummate the marriage until after the birth, okay? So they were engaged, promised to each other, they got married, but the marriage still wasn't consummated until the baby came along. So when he is told, therefore, that Mary is pregnant, he's thinking, no way, not a chance, this cannot be, because we're not married. We're not married. You could forgive the guy at that point for thinking that the news that she is pregnant is either a lie, Mary, you're telling me you're having a baby, but this cannot be true because we've not consummated, we're not married. Or, Mary, you've cheated on me. You have been unfaithful against the solemn vow and promise that we have given each other when we got engaged, okay? Now, this bit of the story has lost some of its cultural sting, hasn't it? Because now in our kind of Western society, many couples are living together outside of marriage, having children and marrying later or not marrying at all. I think that the Bible is clear that sex is a gift for marriage between male and female. There's loads of reasons as to why God has ordained it and prescribed it that way that's got nothing to do with being prudish or kind of old-fashioned or anything like that. But God has designed it that way, that sex is between man and woman who are married together, that are good for us, not just in terms of our spiritual health and obedience to God, but are good for us emotionally and physically and in every capacity that sex is for that kind of relationship. Now, even if society now thinks that this is not a big deal anymore, and that actually, Steve, well, I hear what you say, but you know, life has moved on. It was a massive deal to Mary and Joseph, okay? It was a huge deal to Mary and Joseph. It was a massive deal to their families and their wider community, because nobody did this. Nobody did this. Couples got engaged, made a solemn vow, promised to one another that they didn't have sex till they got married, and then they had sex and children came along, if they were going to be blessed with children. And everyone did that, and everyone saw that and knew that. And so anything that happened that wasn't that, everyone would have known, and that would have brought shame and everything else that comes with that, because the whole community would have seen that and experienced that. And so now you have Joseph, who has been told by Mary, Joseph, I'm having a baby. And he's thinking, well, that's either a lie or you've been unfaithful. And if you've been unfaithful, the consequences are huge. Because it's not just about us, it's our families and our community, it's our everything. Or it's kind of questioning. It's consumed by doubt. Is it true? Or have you been unfaithful? Where's your integrity, Mary, to our relationship? The news had got to Joseph, she was pregnant. And then he goes to sleep. You might say, well, how did he manage to sleep? We don't know, but he was asleep. And an angel visits him. The angel confirms the news that she is pregnant. Joseph, what you have heard is true. His head must have been spinning. How he was able to concentrate on anything, I don't know. But the news is now true. And so now it's not a doubt of, is the news true? But where did the baby come from? Where did Mary get this baby? The woman that he loved, the woman that he was committed to, she was having a baby and he knew it wasn't his. He's now no longer doubting the news, but doubting Mary herself, to which the angel brings calm and reassurance. Matthew 1 verse 20, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This is good news. It's good news. Sometimes we can get news like that, can't it? Where our first response is, oh man, the whole sky has caved in. And then we begin to kind of see the wood from the trees, and we see that maybe sometimes the news is not as bad as we think. But here is an angel saying to Joseph, look, don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. This is, in fact, good news. This is God. It's all right. Mary is going to give birth. She's going to have a baby boy. You're going to call him Jesus. For he is the Savior. He is the one that you have been waiting for. There are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that point to the coming of a Messiah, that point to the coming of Jesus. Joseph would have known this. The angel is saying to Joseph, look, Joseph, don't be afraid. I know you're kind of spinning out. I know that your world feels like it's caving in, but don't be afraid. This is good news. All those prophecies that you have heard, they're coming true. This baby is him. This baby is the Messiah. He is going to save the world from their sins. Don't worry. Do you ever feel like that nothing ever good happens? Sometimes we can get down in the dumps, can't we? We can start to feel sorry for ourselves and we can go, man, everything's hard. Nothing good ever happens. Well, we get to the end of the year and we feel a bit like the Queen's speech a few years ago. What was it she called it? The Annus Horribilis. It's just been so hard. Sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? It's just rubbish. It's just hard. It's just one more bit of bad news after one more bit of bad news. Sometimes you meet people who are always writing themselves off. I can't do anything. I'm no good at anything. I haven't got this. I haven't got this. And oh, woe is me. We can meet people like that. There's nothing good in my life. And here we have Mary and Joseph, this young couple living in Nazareth, probably the smallest place on earth at the time. He's a young man, he's engaged and he's excited, but this is his world. Him and his dad, they've got the wood and the rocks out and whatever it is. They're building an extension. He's looking forward to his wedding day. And then now this news comes. Mary's having a baby and it's not yours. And the angel says, don't be afraid. He's been waiting for the Messiah, but he didn't ever imagine it was going to involve him. And now this news from the angel has changed everything. This baby is Emmanuel. This baby is God with us. Sometimes we can think, man, this has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong, and we're just waiting for the next thing. We're just waiting for the next thing. We think there is good in the world. We think there are good news things. We think that maybe God is possibly real and that maybe he does love people, but he can't possibly love me because I've endured this and I've had this and I've had this. And here is Joseph, young guy, smallest place on earth, not much going on in his world. And suddenly he's placed at the center of the story of God's salvation plan for the world. And Mary's going to have a baby, call him Jesus, because he's going to save the world from their sins. Be known as Emmanuel, for God is with us. We're then told that Joseph does everything that he has been told to do. He does everything. He goes really, really quick at this point, from doubting to believing, from fear to contentment. He becomes obedient to God and does exactly what he's told. Joseph takes Mary as his wife. This story is not only amazing, it's not only a monumental part of the nativity story, the most joyful event that the world has ever seen, but it shows us a lot, an awful lot, about how we too can deal with and respond to the different situations that we face. What has this story got to do with us? Well, this story is not just the coming of a saviour. But this story shows us how we can respond to our own doubts. It shows us how can we respond to our own times of fear and of questioning, our own times of where we feel just down in the dumps, like everything is going wrong. We can so often find ourselves not sure of what to believe, not sure of who to believe. Joseph wasn't sure until he trusted the voice of an angel. I'm sorry, you've got me and not an angel. But I would not be here this morning if I didn't believe every single word that I'm telling you. Jesus came to save you and to be with you. There's been a TV phenomenon called The Traitors over the last few years. Anybody watched it? A few of you have. All right. Where people in this program, for those who have not seen it, that there's a bunch of strangers get put together in a big house, and a couple of them are picked to be traitors. That they're trying to acts of treachery to win money against everybody else in the house. And you find people saying things like, "I am 100% faithful," and they're lying. They're lying because if they win the game, they get the money and they don't. So they lie. And they tell people to whom they are forming friendships, sometimes quite close friendships, they go, "I'm 100% faithful," and it is a lie. And they lie for self-motivation. They lie for self-interest. They're lying because they want to win a prize of about 100 grand. I am not an angel, but I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you that Jesus loves you, that he came for you, that he died for you, that he rose again for you, that you can trust him, you can give him your life, you can worship him. And I ain't getting 100 grand. I'm not lying to you. Joseph's life changed because he trusted in God. He trusted in God and took Mary as his wife, took this baby home. We can trust in God. When we feel down in the dumps, when we feel like, oh, it's just one bit of bad news after another, trust in God. Look up. Look up, see that the Saviour has come, see that God came to be with us. They placed him as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. Look up and worship him. Joseph then worries that Mary might have cheated on him, but is prepared to believe the otherwise impossible. Joseph trusts in God even when it defies everything that is logical in his mind. He trusts in God. The Savior has come and has come for him and to be with him. We now have a very different kind of Joseph. We have a young guy, still from the smallest place in the world, but a guy who was captive to doubt and to fear, but now willing to trust God in heaven, to trust a God he cannot see, but a God who 100% he believes in and does everything that he has been told to do. In order to know the power of God in your life, you are going to need to trust the one that you cannot see. You need to trust in God without seeing him, to know the power and the freedom of his salvation upon your soul, to know the contentment and the peace and the hope that his abiding presence gives to you. What does it mean today for God to be Emmanuel? For God to be with us? This is what it means, isn't it? That I can have hope and peace and joy and contentment. That I can know what it means on the darkest of days to have the whisper in my head that says, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Joseph went from doubt to belief like that. And everything changed. Everything changed. I mean, don't get me wrong. He doubted for a while. I imagine he was raging. I mean, it was dramatized wonderfully there, wasn't it? But put your doubts aside, put the questions aside. Hear the voice of God in your heart that says, yeah, I love you. I sent Jesus for you. I sent him to save you. And I sent him to be with you. Joseph trusted that and it changed his life. Can you? Can I? Can we do it today, tomorrow, the next day? Do every day, over and over and over again. When good things happen, trust the Lord that he's given us good things. When bad things happen, trust the Lord that he'll be with us in those bad things. Go from doubt to belief. Trust the Lord. Trust the one who came to be Emmanuel. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing together. Lord, I thank you for this nativity story. I thank you for its truth, its power. I thank you that it tells us plainly about the Son of God coming for us, to be given the name Jesus because he will save us from our sins, to be called Emmanuel, for it means that God is with us. We thank you not just for the story, but the truth of it, the power of it, that we can know salvation in our heart. We can know the power and the freedom of our sins forgiven. We can know the peace and the contentment, that the certain hope of knowing that you are with us. Father, I thank you too for the example of Joseph, because it shows us perhaps something of what we are like. Because he was shocked and he was outraged and fearful. And we can be shocked and outraged and fearful too, when we hear things that we don't like and see things we don't understand. But Father, I thank you that you sent an angel to comfort Joseph, to tell him not to be afraid, but to trust. Father, I pray that this morning and each day that we may look to you in your Holy Spirit, that we may not be afraid. Lord, I pray that we may be kind of angels with skin on for one another, and that we may hear the burdens of one another, hear the fears and the pressures and the anxiety of one another. And we would remind one another that God is with us. I hear you. And I want to tell you that God is with you. He's with you. He's real. He can be known and felt. And he comes to give you peace and joy in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that difficulty. He wants to journey with you in that. Father, I pray that we may remind one another of the experience of Joseph here, that he went from doubting to believing and everything changed. That we can remind one another of the power and the wonder of the person of Jesus, as to who he was and why he came to save us and to be with us. Lord, I pray that we may know the truth and the power of that, and that we may glorify you all the more because of it. Amen. Amen.